I don't know who in I'm curious to know what you think. Leave a comment. I don't know who in my audience, how many people are on the young earth creationist side and how many people are in the theistic evolution side or old earth creationism. I mean, there's a lot of different ways of looking at it. I'm open to really any position. I mean, I'm open to hearing out the arguments, I should say. And I haven't done extensive research into all of them, so I can't really say that my mind is made up on the matter, but I am interested to know what you guys think. I imagine probably most of my audience is either old earth creationist or young earth creationist. I'm not sure how many like creation evolutionist or theistic evolution. I get the terms mixed up sometimes, but I'm not sure how many there are out there. If you are joining us, then great. You know, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in the idea, and I'm not willing to just. I used to be really close-minded to that. The problem with being close-minded is you don't know what you're close-minded to. So if you say, I don't need to hear their arguments because I have the Bible and I just read the Bible and the Bible says this, so that's what it is. All right, well, there are a lot of people who say that same exact thing, read the same exact Bible as you, and still hold different positions. So why is that? If it was just as simple as we just read the Bible and that's it, then how come people who do that don't just totally agree? Well, some people are stupid, but they don't really read it. Well, now you're in pride territory. Now you're falling into pride, thinking that you have all the answers and your interpretation is right. And if people would just get on board with what you believe, then everything would be fine. It doesn't work that way. The fact of the matter is, lots of Christians read the Bible and accept it as absolutely truthful. Lots of Christians aren't influenced by outside sources. Lots of Christians are extremely close-minded about that. Yet, lots of Christians disagree on a lot of major points. So it is not good enough to just say, well, I just read the Bible and that's fine if you're not interested in supporting your opinion ever. If you're not interested in trying to convince somebody, which is fine, or if you're not interested in caring about what other people believe or making yourself out to be known as right, then that's fine. Then I really have no problem with that because I don't think everybody should do that. I think there are people, and you get this online a lot, who they have their position and they think that that's right, and they are so right that they don't have to look at the other positions, but they are more than willing to go and tell you why you're wrong, even though they don't understand the other position. That's just like what we've talked about before. That's liberal leftist mentality. You know, we're better than that. We as Christians should be better than that. We don't need to fall into those idiotic tactics because then we're just relying on emotion. If your interpretation is correct, or if it's at least plausible, if it's at least a viable option, then you should invite if you're of the type that wants to tell other people what they should or shouldn't believe, then you should invite opposition to your view, see how it stacks up, and if you're right, if you are as right as you think you are, then you will logically be able to change somebody else's mind if you're both agreeing that logic and reason is the way to go. But you never see that. You never see that. Because when that does happen and the two people actually, you know, involved in the debate respect each other, they usually won't change each other's mind, but they'll learn more about their own argument. But sometimes minds are changed. My mind's been changed lots of times, but more often we just get this emotional garbage about it. So I just wanted to put that out as a precursor before getting into the story, that there has been a new gene study that presents some difficulties. Or at least seems to present some difficulties for the scientific theory of evolution while bringing science possibly one step closer towards the biblical story of creation. Now, again, some people take the biblical story of creation literally, some people take it metaphorically. And I think that's a good discussion to have because you got Christians on both ends of the camp, and it's not good enough for one camp to say, well, the other guys aren't really Christians. listen, if Jesus Christ is your savior and you serve Jesus Christ and you love God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, all that stuff, if you are serving Jesus, if Jesus is your God, if he is your savior, you are saved. All right. So we got to get out of that mindset that just because somebody doesn't believe in the same creation account I do, or somebody doesn't believe in the same rapture I do, or whatever, then that means that they're not a Christian. No. And if you're falling into those tactics, then you don't have a strong argument. And I would submit maybe you don't really know what you believe, because if you have to go to those lengths to support it, then if that's all you got, then that's all you got. That's a really shallow argument. Okay, so Dr. Gerald Schroeder, who's an Orthodox Jewish physicist with a PhD from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or MIT, was unperturbed, noting many ways which show new discoveries such as this show how science and religious belief can be complementary, which is great. I love that kind of stuff. Mark Stokel from the Rockefeller University in New York and David Thaler at the University of Basel. I never know how to say this. Is it Basel? Basel? Somebody help me out, because this comes up quite a bit because it's a very popular place in Switzerland and I never know how to say it right. I think it's basil. I think it's like the herb basil. Correct me if I'm wrong though. I'm sure I don't have to ask you to. It's YouTube. I'm sure I'll get plenty of that. But basil in Switzerland analyzed mitochondrial DNA collected from 100,000 animal species stored in the U.S. government-run GenBank database. Their findings were recently published in the journal Human Evolution. Now, in analyzing DNA barcodes, the researchers found an indicator that showed 9 out of 10 of all the species of animals alive today emerged about 100 to 200,000 years ago, approximately the same time that Homo sapiens appeared. The researchers did not provide an explanation as to what led to this sudden explosion of life, but Dr. Schroeder did suggest a theory for this phenomenon. He said, quote, "We have seen that when men show up in an ecosystem, they tend to kill off the large animals. The presence of the first Homo sapiens 100,000 years ago may have caused a man-made bottleneck and caused a significant change in the animal population. Humans have a disproportionately significant role in these natural processes, which may be what was meant in Genesis." And he's talking about Genesis 1:28, which says that God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fertile and increase, fill the earth and master it, rule the fish of the sea, birds of the sky, and all the living things that creep on the earth." Genesis 1:28. The version that's up here says Hashem. So I'm not sure which version exactly that is. But now when discussing the timeline, Dr. Schroeder explained that the 100,000 year timeline did not contradict the Hebrew calendar, which sets man's creation at 5,778 years ago. So Schroeder said, quote, "The biblical calendar of 6,000 years does not relate to the beginning of species. All animals have a nefesh, or animal soul, but only man has a neshama, a human soul. Homo sapiens as a species did appear about 100,000 years ago, but they wouldn't be recognized as a person in the same way we are. They had a nefesh but did not have a neshama. In scientific terms, people as Homo sapiens go back 100,000 years, but the Bible's definition of a person is different. It includes a neshama. Science will not see the break, the change that occurred in man 6,000 years ago when we received a soul. The neshama is what gives us the ability to be compassionate for someone outside your immediate clan. Animals have a nefesh and can be compassionate to their own clan, but they see anyone outside their clan as a threat. The ability to see the other as something other than a threat, to have compassion and empathy, is what defines the neshama," end quote. Now, remarkably, man's receiving a neshama did, according to this interpretation, did have an effect that even science recognized. Dr. Schroeder related a visit he paid to the British Museum in London several years ago. An entire wing of the museum was dedicated to a change that occurred in mankind that museum curators believed to be the landmark that defined human society, the beginning of cities. A large brass plaque on the museum wall proudly proclaimed that this change occurred spontaneously around the world about 5,500 years ago. Dr. Schroeder explained that the reason for science has yet to fully understand this sudden universal change, but can be understood in biblical terms as the moment when man was instilled with a neshama. So Dr. Schroeder says, quote, the beginning of farming 10,000 years ago led to a population explosion, but without a neshama, men would not be able to live together with other people not from their clan. 100,000 years ago, Homo sapiens appeared, but they only had a nephesh. That is what science sees. 5,778 years ago, men were instilled with a neshama that had enough compassion, enough of a sense of the other to organize themselves into large societies, end quote. Now, in addition to the new timeline of 100,000 years, the results of the new study were problematic for classical evolutionary theory, which is based on, long sequences of random mutations followed by natural selection. And the gene study found a lack of variation in so-called neutral mutations, which are the slight changes in DNA across generations that neither help nor hurt an individual's chances of survival. This would result in species with large dispersed populations becoming more genetically diverse over time. And the study showed that this was not the case, bringing into question evolution as it has been taught for almost 100 years. Okay, so I don't know that I'm sold on any of this, you know, really. Like I said at the beginning of this video, this isn't something that I've done really deep research into. Maybe someday I will. I actually kind of would like to someday write a book about this, because there are some interesting ideas that I think warrant at least looking at, and this may be one of them. But again, like I said before, I don't ever want to, for me, because I used to be there, and I can look back now and see how prideful and blind and ignorant I was. And I'm not saying that I'm not any of that stuff now. You know, I'm certainly not perfect now, but I don't want to go back to that. And I can't bring myself to a place where I just say, well, that's not what the Bible says. And then just toss it off altogether. It's interesting to me that this comes from a Jewish source. I've always been interested in how the Jews view the Bible, you know, view the Old Testament, obviously, but I am also interested how they look at the New Testament too, even those who oppose it. Again, it's not because I agree with any of it. I just think it's good to understand those types of arguments, because if we understand their, think about it this way, if for nothing else, if we understood their arguments better, and that they had something there that was keeping them from accepting salvation in Jesus Christ, and we were able to say, well, hey, have you thought about it this way? And then, oh, no, I haven't. And then they, you know, maybe then they accept Yeshua. I don't know. I mean, if there's even a chance of that, isn't it worth taking some time to look into these other theories, even if it's just to find out if there's anything wrong with it? And that's fine. We should be looking at our own theories to find out if there's anything wrong with it, really. I think that's good to take an idea, take a theory, and see if you can tear it down through logic and reason. And see when you come up with an idea, see if that idea has been opposed and how it's been opposed, and see if you can counteract that. That's how good thinking, I think, should happen. You know, that's how we can progress and come up with better, stronger arguments and you know, be more intellectual about it. We live in a world full of idiots and full of really smart people. And I think it's better to not be an emotional idiot. I think it's better to be a rational intellectual if you got to be one of the two, because I kind of see the emotional idiots that fall into the leftist camps of non-arguments and just like I said before at the beginning of the video, if your argument is right, you should welcome challenge if you're interested in defending it. If you're not, if you don't care one way or another, and that believe me, that is perfectly fine. If you say, well, I'm not one of these guys that gets online and tries to tell people what people think. I'm perfectly fine if people want to believe this or that. This is just what I believe based on what I read. Fair enough. Then that's great. Then you're doing, I think, exactly what you should be doing. And Now I'm talking to Christians here when I say that. If somebody's not a Christian and they say that, I still think a Christian should, with respect, present the gospel and try to lay out a case. But if you're a Christian, you've already made that step. You're doing good with Jesus and all that, and you have your beliefs about things, but you don't really care to debate them, and you don't want to get involved in what other people believe. Then great, then you don't have to, and that's fine. But if you are, and this is most people, if you are one of those people who likes to get online and tell people why they're wrong and why you're right, and then you just tell them, well, you just don't believe in the Bible, that's why. Like I've heard like 100,000 times, well, Josh, you don't believe the earth is flat because you don't believe in your Bible. You've got to come up with a better argument than that if you want me to believe in your idea. But and no, by the way, I don't believe the earth is flat. But that's an example of, well, the Bible says so. I get it, but that's not a strong enough argument. So because you're not telling me what the Bible says, you're telling me what your interpretation of the Bible is. That I don't care about the interpretation. I care about the interpretation if it's backed by facts and sound logic and reasoning and all that. But if it's just emotion, that's not going to convince anybody. You're only going to scare people into it. Well, you're going to go to hell if you don't, you're not a real Christian if you don't believe in this. You're going to scare people into it, and then they're going to go and produce more scared Christians who might not even be real Christians to begin with, because they're just scared of stuff and they don't know how to argue, and then they make the rest of us look bad, and it's not a good way to evangelize people. So I think having solid reasons for why we believe the way that we believe is the better way to go. And we shouldn't be afraid or be threatened if there's another idea about how things might have started that still involve God anyway. So that's all I'm saying on the matter. You can help fight against censorship by making a one-time donation or setting up a monthly donation to Josh Peck Disclosure at joshpeckdisclosure.com/donate. Or, for as little as $1 a month, you can become a Peck patron by heading over to patreon.com/joshpeck. As a Peck patron, you will be entered into contests to have your content featured on the Josh Peck Disclosure homepage, contribute chapters to a collaborative book with Josh Peck, and win a special Josh Peck collection full of materials worth hundreds of dollars. Also, for as little as $3 a month, you will have access to free downloads of Josh Peck books, such as Quantum Creation, Cherubim Chariots, and more. Josh Peck Disclosure is viewer-funded. Head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com for more information. Right now, head on over to joshpeckdisclosure.com, the central hub for everything Josh Peck Disclosure. Every day, you'll get brand new videos, podcasts, updates, and more. Make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/joshpeckdisclosure. Also, make sure you click the bell and select the option to always be notified when a new video is released. Follow Josh Peck Disclosure on Twitter at @JPDisclosure and get involved with the show on our official Facebook page at facebook.com/joshpeckdisclosure. Disclosure. If you're on Steemit and prefer DTube, follow Josh Peck at steemit.com/@Josh Peck and make sure to upvote all Josh Peck Disclosure DTube videos. Keep checking back at joshpeckdisclosure.com for news, information, updates, and more.